Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Goat King Riders Club. Make some noise! And welcome to the stage, Sean Conway and Nathan Hall!
This world got one for you, I'm self-absorbed. But it ain't hurting me one bit. I'm self-absorbed, so I'll put up with my shit. And I won't lose my mind on now, just have another drink. I'm self-absorbed.
So that's, who wants to go first?
I reckon you go first this week, Sean.
All right, let's see my amazing art and see if you can guess what the story is about.
So it's obviously called Review This.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a giveaway there.
I'll tell you one thing about the artwork that's not really going to affect the story. I drew this first and I was super stoked with how that came out. And then I was like, I've got all this fucking dead space. I was going to have like a fire and stuff, but then that had nothing to do with the
story.
Is that
a tree or like a spooky thing?
No, that is a dark, mysterious figure, okay. But I couldn't make it any darker because I ran out of text.
Well, it's pretty fucking mysterious, Sean, I've got to say. Almost as mysterious as why I'm holding this camera. It's very awkward.
You do it at the audience.
Because
if we're going to be on YouTube, you guys should be on YouTube as well. That's how we feel.
That's right.
Mystery solved.
There's a little bit of a clue in the bottom hand, right?
Leprosy head?
Yep, leprosy head.
Man, I'm fucking stumped, Sean. I have no idea what's going
so
on
is
here.
So she. Oh, it's a fucking picture of a fictional character. Relax. Fucking.
Is that a head on a table?
Yeah, it's a three-legged table.
Okay.
Four legs was about out of my reach. So you ready? You ready to figure out what this story is about? You guys ready to figure out what Review This is about?
Yeah. That was a lukewarm reception, Sean.
Try it again.
You haven't sold it this week, mate.
I'll try. Brian, should I give a little bit of backstory of what this review is? What this story is?
Yeah, definitely, because you always give your inspiration each episode, so...
Yeah, I might do that at the start.
Yeah, go hard.
The reason why I'm doing this story is because we've actually got reviewers in tonight. So whenever you can make some noise, make some fucking noise. And Hull, you've known me for like 20 years. You know me and reviewers don't see eye to eye a lot of the time. So I'll read this story and then I'll tell you one of the worst reviews that I ever got, and hope to God she's not here. So this is my story, Review This by Sean Conway. The little boy played his fiddle on the street every day to save enough money to buy the latest toy, the cup and the ball. The year was 1860 and kids were losing their minds for this ball and a cup toy, or as the church called it, the most violent and perverted children's toy in history. The little boy would play all the popular jams of 1860, like Three Blind Mice and Hot Cross Buns. One day, while shredding the fuck out of his fiddle, he noticed a dark figure near him. He looked up, and it was the most hideous woman he had ever seen. And I've lost my spot.
It's two from two, Sean.
You're doing so good.
I know. Her face was so terrifying, it sent chills down his little spine. He couldn't even turn away. It looks like her face is one away from her skull, the little boy thought. I am Annalise Gartner, the horribly disfigured woman said. I am the maker of dreams and the destroyer of careers. I am the reviewer. She replied with a sinister tone. Oh, yeah? What's a reviewer then? The little boy asked. Just play your fiddle, child, and I'll tell you if you're any good or not. She replied through her hideous fucking face. The little boy gave it his all. He played his heart out. When he was done, the woman was gone. The next day, while setting up, the boy noticed people were pointing and laughing at him. When the owner of London's most famous Italian restaurant marched up to him, "You can never play in front of my pizza shop anymore," he screamed. Why not? The little boy asked. Annalisa Gardner has put the hex on you, my boy. The little boy packed his things and walked home past all the children with their brand new ball in the cup. The sound of love and joy coming from the children in the street sent the little boy into a murderous rage. But what Annalise Garner didn't know was that this little boy was a gypsy. The little boy had everything he needed to punish the wicked Annalise Garner. He had the cursed words from the newspaper. He had a strain of his own hair and a little bit of Annalise Garner's skin when her crispy flake fell off into his fiddle case. The curse was in full effect. The little gypsy boy was now a young man and successful in his own right. He dressed in a dapper suit as he visited the local freak show. And for the first time in many years, he saw her, that hideous face. It was Annalise Garner, or as she went by nowadays, Leprosy Head. He walked up to her and she mumbled, "Who are you?" "I am the maker of dreams and the destroyer of careers. I am the reviewer."
Hey, beautiful, Shawnee.
Thank you. So the inspiration for that was that we were meant to have reviewers here tonight, and hopefully they're still here. But no, I haven't had a great run, a great history with reviewers. I'm not sure if you know this story, but in 2014, this is how much it stuck with me. This is what, 7 years ago? I got accepted into Breakout Comedy, which is where they handpick the next huge star of Australian comedy. And to their credit, they were 80% right. they had Jen Fricker, who's on like Triple J. She performs at the Sydney Opera House all the time. They had Ray Badron, who's been on the BBC Late Night at the Apollo. They had Sam Campbell, who's won every award in comedy and has a BBC TV show. And they had a little known comedian named Daniel Sloss, who has been on Conan about 100 times and only has about 4 Netflix specials. And I was on that lineup because I won an open mic competition. And when I saw the newspaper, the title was Mostly Fresh with Moments of Stale. And I was thinking, well, it couldn't possibly be about me. I mean, they used Brian, show the picture.
Yep, bring it up now.
We went through this 8 times.
Was it today or yesterday we talked about that?
I'm going to start from the top. So I was in this Breakout comedy. No, I thought it wouldn't be that bad of a
review. There we go.
Because they used my image to sell the story.
What a beauty.
And anyone notice the author of that story? Hey, it took me 7 years, bitch, but I got my revenge.
Fucking beautiful, Shawnee.
Love it.
So that was my story, the review. I hope you enjoyed.
Well, I'm glad you trimmed that beard, though, huh?
Oh, yeah, I kept that beard long because I'm superstitious. I wore that shirt 6 times and didn't trim my beard because I thought it was bad luck. Because I'm the little gypsy boy in that story. Why is that on me? Yeah.
Yeah,
let's see.
You're right.
That's okay.
All on Brian.
Yep. And, Cole, when you do pop up on the podium, could you just back off the mic a bit, too?
Nah.
Yeah, thanks.
That's my beautiful art for the week.
Can we...
Again, draw on a beer
box. Can we do a vegetarian steak?
That's a... Yeah, so...
It looks like the Italian in my story.
I'm having a personal vent this week.
I'm guessing...
So this is the part of the show where the guys guess the name of the story.
I guess the name of the story is Knife Head.
It doesn't have a name, to be
honest. Doesn't have a name?
I forgot about that bit.
Dude, that's like one of the only jobs you have to do for this show is name
the
story.
I wrote the story, all right? I was hungover on Monday morning.
Well, we can maybe you guys can name the story after that. How does that sound? Does anyone have any ideas what they reckon this story might be about? Murder?
Well, yeah, that's close.
Did someone say that was terrible? That's kind of the whole point. We write terrible stories, we do terrible art because that's the fun of it. You come out and you do it.
If it was good, it'd be no fun.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And plus, we apply the Hunter S. Thompson sort of trait to this, where we get completely blackout drunk, and that's where the stories come from. And the art on this one, it seems.
Well, my favorite part about this artwork this week is that it's on another part of a beer box.
It is.
It's another beer box painting?
Yeah. Again, I was very prepared. No paper at home. I was just like, fuck, I get a beer box.
I don't know, but I hope the mustache gets a mention in this story.
All right. Well, let's make a decision on the title after hearing it.
Yeah. Oh, you guys can decide.
Just get up and read my story.
Hey, give a big round of applause. It feels like a fucking funeral in here. What are you all Annalise Gardner's mates or something? Make some fucking noise. Let's have a party up here.
He's giving his own eulogy.
All right, this is the unnamed story, I suppose. So.
Yep.
Righty.
Good title.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah.
Tim the waiter was nice, but dumb and annoying. And as a waiter, he fucked up more orders than anyone in the history of waiting had ever fucked up. And this was something all the nicest in the world couldn't fix with the chefs. He'd approach the pask and ask, "Oh, is that steak for table 6? Sorry, guys, it was meant to be a vegetable medley. Yeah, they're vegetarian. Not sure how I mixed that up, but if you could just fix it for me, that would be great." Void go back into the restaurant and tell the table the kitchen had made an error, and that their meal would be just a tad longer than expected. The chefs would grip their knives a little tighter. The stress levels would rise. The tension in the kitchen would go up a notch. Tim would return moments later and ask a vague, confusing question that couldn't possibly be answered by anyone but Tim himself. The chef's answer was always similar. "Tim, my balls are hairy, not crystal, so I have no idea what you want. Plus, we're in the middle of service, so please, fuck off." Tim would walk away momentarily before returning to dig himself deeper into a hole. "Oh yeah, also table 7 is gluten-free, so maybe change that pasta dish you're about to serve." The chef's eyes would twitch, their lust for blood growing by the minute. One fateful night, Tim approached the pass. He caught the chef's attention. The chef knew what was coming. He couldn't take it any longer. Before Tim could say anything, he struck Tim in the forehead with a cleaver, instantly killing the poor fool. Unfortunately for the chef, who was really the victim in all of this, killing someone because they're incompetent isn't a good legal defense. He would spend his... The chef was sentenced to life in prison, where he would spend his days serving slop to fellow inmates on the chow line. Each day, he'd look around at the murderers, thugs, rapists, conmen and scumbags, and smile and breathe a sigh of relief. Not a waiter amongst them, he'd think, as he dished out another spoonful of rancid potatoes. This week was more of an event.
I got a name for that story. It's just a diary passage from Nathan Hull.
So, I'm a chef and I love all the waiters I work with, but sometimes you need to just blow off a little bit of steam. You know?
Are any of them here?
No.
No?
Unfortunately.
No, because that's it.
So is that a particular waiter on that picture, though? Because it's a mustache.
Oh,
it looks very Frenchy.
They would know.
Anyone got a title? What about you guys with the glasses? You look like you come up with smart shit all the time.
You were wrong again, Sean.
Lots for Words is a good title. Anyone else got any? Come on, this is a creative show.
I heard one in back here. It was mashed potatoes.
What's that?
Mashed potatoes. I heard that's good.
Mashed potatoes is all right.
Fuck it, that's the name from now on.
I like it. So what did you guys think of the first two stories? They're pretty good, right? Pretty good.
So for those who haven't seen the show before, we write a new story, a couple of stories every single week, do art every week.
Unless you mean Hull, who has murder and revenge in their hearts all the time, then you get those two stories. But now what we also do each week is we have two cocktail shakers and we have our 99 random word story challenge, where we have one cocktail shaker of locations and one cocktail shaker of characters. And our character, my one this week was a hooker in a volcano.
It was drawn last week, and mine was a DJ in a jungle.
Fuck it. Yeah. You got the we have like a little tune song for it. You got the little tune song for us, Brian?
Come on, right up.
Sean and Host, 99 Random Word, Cocktail!
We're fucking high class on this show. Big budget.
12 months that animation took to make.
That was a beautiful little animation. We'll get the volume. We'll get the volume a little better next time.
What was that, Brian?
That was fantastic.
Yeah. you wanna read your story?
We going straight into it? Yeah.
Yeah, go straight. I'll go to the podium.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Tradition. Sorry, Sean. Before we get into this category, did you want to premiere that thing that you were talking about, or?
That's the thing after this thing.
Okay. Cool. Perfect.
You were at the show last week.
Yeah.
You edited the show.
Yep.
Yeah, you still half don't asleep. Know the running
half
order.
Asleep. Half in the bag. That's what the show's all about, isn't it?
So, for those who don't know, the 99 word story has to be 99 words with the characters and places we drew, which again puts limitations on it, but it's good fun. So
it's challenging.
So this is a DJ in the jungle. Fuck a bush doof. This was going to be a jungle tumble. And dubstep superstar Elron Dubbard was bringing the party to the Amazon no matter what. Set up with generators and a ridiculous sound system, Elron knew that once he started spinning tracks, the Amazon's native people would lose their shit and deep dive into a fat beaten ayahuasca sandwich, forever changing the live music festival circuit. The tribe's people appeared, heads nodding, hands in the air. Fuck yeah, he thought. Fatally mistaking their war dance with a festival dance, he was brutally killed seconds later.
Fuck yeah, you also got to get the beginning, middle, and end to make the story happen. But that was good. All right, so my one, this is the tough one, but my one was Hooker in a Volcano. Volcano. So, any of... Oh, fuck yeah, I didn't know we did that. That's fucking awesome. So this one's for all the MMA fans. MMA fighter Dan Hooker was preparing for his toughest fight yet against an active volcano. The Hooker family has a history of fighting volcanoes, with 20 members having fought for 20 losses. So not only was this fight tough, it was personal. On fight night, Dan used his intro song to get into the head of his volcano opponent, with Vanilla Rice's Ice Ice Baby blaring through the speakers. Dan went to touch gloves. The volcano refused, infuriating Dan, who charged at the volcano with a flying knee, but missed and fell to his death. Volcano 21, Hookers 0.
I like where you went that, Sean. You changed it up, man. Yeah. Beautiful.
So over the course of the last... We started this podcast in May last year, and after about 10 episodes, we had a 20 collection bundle of 99 random word stories, and for the last 6 months, we've been putting that together into a short film, and we would love to... We premiered it last week with terrible sound, so you guys are going to get the genuine... the full round experience in our premiere. So that's...
Hopefully.
So this is our short story, our short film called Man on the Mood. So put your hands together. I hope you enjoy it. It was made by the amazing Oliver Jackson. So thank you.
And it'll be up online shortly after Fringe as well. And you can check that out on our YouTube page, the Goat King Writers Club.
Yeah, so that little short film we're going to be pitching to some television studios and stuff. So if anyone asks, you haven't seen it. So yeah.
And you can be honest and say you haven't heard it either.
Yeah, that's it. Like you'll be telling the truth. So this part of the show, with our 99 word topics... we do it for ourselves and like to make each other laugh, but we also encourage local storytellers and artists in Perth and around the world to send in their artwork. Okay. So I think we got a bunch of entries today, right? Brian? If their fucking sound their sound is perfect, you are fired, bro. You are
their sound's gonna be better than perfect.
Oh fuck.
It's gonna be uncomfortably good.
Well, you usually start with Aaron. Aaron does a little animation for us. He's done two for us
We got two this week from Aaron. That's Hooker in a Volcano and DJ in the Jungle. Which one do you want to hear first?
Well, audience vote. Who wants to hear Hooker in Volcano? Make some noise! And DJ in the Jungle. Make some noise.
Yeah. All right, Hooker it is. Coming right up. Hole, if you could just dip down for a minute as well. Jump to the podium. Thank you. Here it comes.
As well.
Mary appears alone at the mouth of a volcano. Hello, I heard someone wanted a party. The earth shakes and the sky opens to reveal God with a snap back cap.
So, how does this work? Do I pay?
That's after, sugar. You ever done this before?
Heaps.
God blushes clearly. Clearly is a virgin. That would explain all the wars and cruelty, though.
No. That's all cause Eve's a bitch.
Mary sighs and lifts her clothes. Just don't tell anyone I did this, okay?
Okay.
And thank you, Aaron, for that.
That was some real Monty Python stuff there. I thought that was awesome. Fantastic. What do you guys reckon? Give a big round of applause for Aaron.
Ooh, a lot of work. A lot of work goes into those.
Yeah, and when the episode comes out on YouTube on like Tuesday or Wednesday, his details will be there. So make sure to give him a follow.
Over importance on Instagram.
Hopefully the fucking DJ in the Jungle isn't shit, because that's going to be a hard one to follow, I reckon.
Let's find out together.
Let's find out.
DJ Who? Damn. I haven't said that name in years.
I heard that he lost his touch.
Well, I don't even think he existed to begin with. Nobody could be that real and just
disappear. DJ Who wakes to a dry sweat. The TV in his room is playing an old documentary about his career. Behind the music, you know, like an ape, he looks at his decks and powers them up. It haunts him. Poor DJ Who. Lost it all for what? Women? Drugs? A Frabuchet banana collection? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Oh shit, that is one of my favourite parts, just seeing the nutty weird shit.
It is his own section on our show, like every week.
But he Aaron did just post all the videos that he sent into us, so make sure to check him out on Instagram. And
yep, that's Over Importance on Instagram.
Over Importance, yeah.
Yep.
You got one. Didn't you have a mate from the U.S. send something in?
Yeah, we have a few videos and entries. A lot of times we have people who come in and just tell a story on a video. But we've had people kind of doubling down and going all out for Fringe. So I sent Phil on Instagram. He did Hooker in a Volcano.
Fuck it.
The lava bubbled and flowed, hissing powerfully 50 meters below, the brim on which the hooker stood, staring down into the volcano. The chief urged her not to resist, the volcano god would be quite pissed.
I think you've got the wrong gal.
Nonsense, hooker. Now jump you shall. Out of patience, the chief shoved her over, the lava consuming her, not a bone left over. Quickly, the priest ran up to the chief. There was a mistake, an error, a real queef. He said the hooker would not suffice. It was a virgin they were supposed to sacrifice.
That's not bad.
It was a pretty epic intro for that.
It was. It reminded me of, like, I was watching an episode of Survivor or something.
Yeah, it was some serious Jumanji Survivor music there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's got all the copyright infringements on that. Otherwise, we won't be able to post it.
Well, but let's skip over. So we have a couple more videos, but
let's not do that.
Can we go to some artwork?
Yeah, yes. You got Michelle's artwork.
Yeah, I'm coming up. So here's Michelle's submission. So Michelle gives a good, genuine effort on submissions each week. She's a tattoo artist as well as an avid fan of the Goat King Writers Club.
Yeah, so she sends in one every week, and I don't know if she does it deliberately, but we always seem to find like a dick and balls somewhere in one of the pictures. Whether she puts it in there or not is a,
I'm looking at the fingers this time.
But we always seem to find one, and I think I found it. It's more like two dick and balls. Kind of like this ring.
Point it out, Sean.
Like the chest, the six pack or the five pack. Kind of like the two titties are like two balls.
I mean, you're reaching hard, man.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, he's reaching really hard.
Yeah, but if you only look for one, and then that's like one ball, and then that's the everyone's shaft looks like a snowman rod.
Not to disgrace her effort, it's really beautiful.
Oh no, she's amazing. And so this one's obviously the Booker DJ in the jungle. Now, if you check her out, her details are here online, so when the episode comes out, make sure to check out her stuff.
We would have a projector put it up, but we can't work one, so... Yeah.
And yeah, well, this one's awesome. This kind of looks like, what are the... Remember Bratz? Remember the old Bratz toys? Remember I was the only kid in year 11 playing with them? Yeah. Yeah, remember... No, this is... Oh, no, you know who she looks like? The Tim Burton...
Bride. Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton kind of...
Yeah, that chick, but there was the other one.
The Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride, yeah. No, she always sends in amazing work, man. And she can't make it here because she's got her own personal stuff going on, but she does always manage, no matter like where her head's at, she's always sending us amazing artwork. So I think... She's not able to make it, but I think she should know how much she's appreciated here, man, and we really love all the work that she sends in. She is pretty fit, this chick.
Well, speaking of fit, we have one last video, or two more videos to play.
Should we... We got
two more videos, and then we've got two live performances.
Okay.
Which is a cool way to go at.
Fantastic.
Oh, wait, is one of them cookies?
One of the videos is cookies.
Okay, so yes, it's the same.
All right.
So we'll play one more animation and then we'll talk to some mates of ours.
Sure. All right.
If I cared, I'd be so disappointed.
Is this your dad?
Yeah, old Papa Guerra submitted this week, but it looks like we'll just have to skip it because it's not going to play. Sorry, Dad. He couldn't make it because he's in America.
I couldn't tell.
It also looks like he's about to say something incredibly racist. Coming on here looking like a fat Ivan Milat. What are you doing? Just go through it and we can kind of guess what he's saying.
This is, the ending. I want to see if the ending plays. That's the best part.
Paris Hilton possessed a pimple-popping pastime. Nicole Richie used to be her victim, but now she's alone. She searched for the biggest pimple of them all. Lucky for her, Woody Harrelson, a great friend of hers, knew of one. So he brought her to Mount Vesuvius, just as about to pop. He never forgave her for beating him in the box offices, for Now You See Me Too. Mm-hmm. So as she looked over, he pushed her in. And the last thing he heard was, she said, "That's hot." Mount Vesuvius popped and popped, kind of like this.
I'm a zit. Get it.
We've got a couple of local, we got one local storyteller and one local comedian. Who do you want to see first?
Storyteller.
They're real. They're not going to skip, I hope.
Skip. No, well, he did a story last week. Tommy. We'll bring Tommy up. Tommy, you did an awesome story last week. So, fuck yeah. We want to hear what you bring to the table this week. Keep it going for Tommy. He fucking had to walk all the way from the back.
So I had a feeling right everyone would go nuts for Hooker in a Volcano. So I did DJ in the Jungle. Preface though, me and Holes are scarily similar in terms of the content. I'm not sure if that's parallel thinking or a lack of originality. But okay, so
sorry, man. Just back off the mic a little bit. There you go.
All right. So this is DJ in the Jungle. Tribal punishment, I called this one. Suddenly, natives emerge from the trees. Fearing tribal punishment, Alfred surreptitiously shelved his entire stash of pingers. Luckily, Alfred had his DJ gear handy, and he launched into an impromptu set. But when Alfred awoke the next morning, he was hogtied to a spit. "Listen, I know I was a bit high last night." "So what?" the chief said. I'm off my face on Percocet right now." "What's the issue then?" "Your tunes, mate. We listen exclusively to rock from the early 2000s around these parts." That's when poor Alfred got spit roasted alive as the tribe sang their victory song, "Roll Over DJ" by Jet. That wasn't much of a payoff.
That was good, man. What was that word you used at the start that I don't think I've ever heard before?
Surreptitiously.
Yeah.
I regret saying that in public. That's an inside word.
Is that like one of those words that you like, "Oh man, I need 9 words to explain it, so I'll look in the dictionary and find one"?
Yeah, so, but the downside is you sound like a dickhead when you say word? It though. So surreptitiously.
We should have a syllable limit on the 99 word stories.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the song Mary Poppins.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
No, Tommy.
I'm rethinking everything at this point.
No, you're killing it, man. You've got a book out. What's it called again?
The book is called Any Day You Can Die. It's about a douchebag who uses long words from Perth who moves over to Medellin, Colombia, and gets in over his head with dark web drug trafficking based on not a true story. So it's on Amazon.com.
If you watched last week's episode, you'll know that it is based on a true story. But no, we are selling copies out the front for you, man. So if you like this story or you want to hear more about your coke adventures, you can also pick up his book. If you buy his book, we'll give you half price coke cutters. How does that sound?
That sounds like a deal.
That's one of our merches for all the coke covers. Make noise if you love coke.
Woo! This, you can also use it as a bookmark. So.
Or a bookmark.
Yeah, or a bookmark.
No, right. Man, that's allegedly. Awesome, man. And
thanks, boys.
Make sure to buy his book, man. He's awesome. And his Facebook details is all here as well. And this guy, he's one of our next storyteller. He's also an animator, but he's still early in the game. But he is one of my favorite Perth comedians. So please make a big bunch. Make some noise. Make as much noise as possible for the one and only Glenn Grimwood. Keep it going until he gets to the mic. Make some noise. which one did you go for this week?
Hooker in a Volcano.
Fuck yeah.
This is the first time I've written anything in ages, and it's pretty similar to the video that was before, but I don't think I can compete with all that fucking animation, but we'll just see how it goes.
You know what's great, Glenn, is that you've made everyone miserable before you've read the story.
Yep. That's what I do. Okay. The annual virgin sacrifice begins, the chief announced, as his villagers approached the volcano's crest. No, the volcano bellowed. I'm weary of virgins. Feed me a massive slut. All eyes turned to the beloved village hooker as she stepped forward. Stop! She's young with so much to live for, the chief's wife cried as she threw herself into the fiery pit in her place. I am more than appeased, roared the volcano. The chief glared at the villagers who were all looking down, awkwardly shuffling their feet. Heartbroken and humiliated, the chief joined his wife in the lava below.
See, man, you just got to back yourself in. That was great, wasn't it? That was fucking awesome. Where are you going? Brought you up here to talk to you, baby. Where are you going? No, so how far... Because you do animation as well, right?
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing that for?
Since like May, but fuck, they take a long time to make.
Yeah. Yeah, we know, bro. But you've posted a bunch on your Instagram and stuff as well.
Yeah, I've got stuff. There's on YouTube and Instagram and my Facebook and stuff. So
yeah, because Glenn kind of does what we do, but instead of animating 99-word stories, he animates his comedy set. So you get like two something for your something. I couldn't think of that. What's the analogy? You get double bang for your buck.
Buy one, get one? Red Deal special?
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, I've done some stand-up, which I've animated, and I'm trying to make my own little series, but it, like I said, it's taken fucking ages. So maybe I'll tell you all my social details. You can check it in 3 years and maybe it will still work. So it's glenngrimwoodcomedy.com and it's on Facebook.
It's all going to be here, bro. It's all going to be here.
Oh, okay,
it's
cool.
All here.
Yeah, it's right there. Here. Can't you see it?
It's all here. I want to talk to you, man.
I animated it already.
You're like,
for you.
You're like Gil from The Simpsons, just like, oh, I hope they like me. Stop trying to sell yourself, bro. We'll sort you out. You're right. But was this like one of the, like, is this something you always wanted to do, or is this like a little COVID activity starting the animation?
A bit of both, because when I didn't get any gigs, I was like, what the fuck am I going to do now? So I started learning how to do it. But I've always wanted to make cartoons since I was a kid, but I was just like, how the fuck am I going to do that? And now it's just like, oh, I can just do it myself and see what happens. So,
fuck yeah. And the stuff that I've seen so far is killer, man. So make sure to definitely check him out on Instagram, Facebook, all the socials. But,
Yeah, they're there. I'm gonna animate them. I'll animate them there for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Nah, man, definitely check him out. Glenn is one of my favorites. And are you doing any shows around Perth for Fringe?
Not really. I'm doing spots on other people's shows, but I'll be on the Nasty Show if you guys like really filthy, disgusting stuff. Okay, don't worry about it.
Woo! Yeah, so it's kind of like the volcano story times 100.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nah, oh, man, we love you, man. And could you still learn in animation, man? If it takes you a couple of weeks to do one of our 99-word stories, we'd love to share it on the podcast anytime, man.
Yep.
Big round of applause for Glenn Grimwald, everyone. He's a fucking awesome dude. And we've got one more story before we wrap it up. This guy, hopefully he sends in this what?
Hopefully it works.
Otherwise, you can watch it all on YouTube. So it's now this is Cookie all for the last. So this is our 23rd episode. He's sent about 22 in. Yeah. So yeah, we all love Cookie, even though he looks like a skinnier version of your dad.
I was gonna send my dad a clip of his thing playing, but I'll just send that instead.
Yeah. What, just a fat dude telling him to lose weight?
Short story. DJ in a jungle. The night was humid and sweat ran down his back as the DJ started spinning his favourite tracks. Money was money and he shouldn't really grumble, but he'd noticed his toes had gone a bit fungal. This was a corporate gig and he'd leapt at the chance. The music was cool and people started to dance. But he felt a bit guilty from the moment he signed. His employer had not been great for humankind. The reach of the big companies is really very wrong. They had the naming rights to this jungle, Amazon.
We are here for the next two Sundays, none of the shows are the same. Even the animation, if you come next week, it might be a bit different. Where the sound, where the sound actually might work, which is a crazy.
We're two from two.
It'll definitely work. All right.
Hopefully, see you guys next week. All right, thanks, guys. I'm Sean Conway.
I'm Nathan Hull.
And we're the Go King Writers Club. Thank you very much. See you next week.
Thank you.